Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and also sitting here at the table is Mary Ann Williams, also known around the table as Mama. Mama, good evening, and as always, please bring your greetings to the people.
Yes, good evening, and good evening to my PRF family, and I just welcome you. I'm telling you, I'm just so excited about what God is going to bring forth, and just thanking you, you know, for being here with us, and you know, you hear this from me, and I truly will continue to say it. We are so appreciative of you taking out your time to be on this show with us, and we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I echo those sentiments from Mama, but nobody can say it like Mama says it. So we are excited that everybody's here. We really pray that everybody has been blessed from the beginning of this year. In January, we had our series on with Kimberly Silas, and in February, we had a whole host of guests. And now we're entering into a new series, today's series or this month's series for March 2017. It's called Release from Financial Bondage. Release from Financial Bondage. Mama, this one right here, this is it.
All right. I'm ready.
I think sometimes folks need to be in the studio before we go live on the air. Because sometimes we can probably just go right then, but then y'all will miss something. Listen, this one right here, God has been messing with me on this one all day long. And
amen,
let me just tell everybody what this series is about. You heard the title, Release from Financial Bondage, but what we're going to do in this series this month, every Thursday, 8 p.m., is we're going to be dealing with who's interceding on your behalf. So if we talk about release from financial bondage, we need to know that there's some things that have to happen before you get released, and then there's going to be some things that's going to happen as you're getting released. So who's interceding on your behalf? Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable in bondage? See, this ain't church. This is the PRF thing. Are you comfortable in bondage? As we continue on throughout the rest of this month, we'll touch on and we'll hit on in a very unique way identifying the plagues that are needed for your release. What in the world did he say that? I don't want to deal with that, Dr. Dunlap. I got you. Just stay around. We'll get to it. I don't know if I should tell them this one right now, Mama, but maybe I should just so they can kind of be on the needle saying.
I just say go for it. I just say just flow in the name of Jesus.
Being released with wealth in hand. Being released with wealth in your hands. And then the last one, we have 5 weeks. No release until God deals with your oppressor. There's no release until God deals with your oppressor.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. That's good. Oh wow.
Now listen, last month we were in our Black Money Matters series, February 2017, something that we do every February to honor Black History Month. And I can't say that this series is a result of what we talked about last month. I rather believe that this series is because of what God has given me back in January before the Black Money Matters series was even finalized. So this show tonight is not about a continuation of Black History Month, but if the shoe fits, go ahead and wear it.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Larry. If that's what God needs to utilize for you to get it and really understand that God is waiting to release you from your financial bondage, then you take what we've already said and you run with that thing. And if you say, you know what, I'm not black, so I really can't understand it, and I got you, you still can too be released from financial bondage. Because this thing is so important. I told a good friend of mine who's going to be with us shortly, but God gave me something this morning, and we're in it. We're in the show right now. So, look, I don't have no crazy fancy introduction. The telephone number is 347-215-7934 if you desire to get into this conversation. 347-215-7934. Press 1 on your dial pad whenever you call that number if you want to join into the conversation, because we want to hear from you. We want people to engage in this conversation because, Mama, quite frankly, too many folks are walking around in financial bondage.
That's true.
This is the opportunity that God is placing before his people. I pray that there's this same message being preached or taught in some other places in this season that we're in. But if you can't get to none of those, you got the PRF table. And we're going to be dealing with this every single week. And I'm going to say, Mama, because of how I feel right now, we may be longer than 5 weeks in this series. You know how it happens sometimes at the table.
Yes.
So let me throw this out here to us. And this is not an introduction, but I want us to think about something. If you're too busy to miss the release point, oh my goodness. See, we're talking about release from financial bondage.
Yes.
We're going to start off in Exodus chapter 1, so y'all can go ahead and get ready for it. But if you're too busy you're going to miss the release point. And there's something so critical about the release point. If we're talking about release from financial bondage, then what do we mean? What does it mean to be released? Let me tell you what happened.
Yes.
God gave me that earlier this morning. He gave me that this morning. And I'm like, that was powerful. Hit my spirit. Boom. Then right after that, so, you know, I got my note, you know, I got my sticky pad, because, you know, that's how I do. You know, everybody knows, you know, I'm the sticky pad man. I wrote it down. If you're too busy, then you'll miss the release point. Then God dropped this in my spirit. It probably in my mind more so than my spirit. But he had me to think about jumping out of an airplane. And so I wrote it down. For example, jumping out of a plane. And so then, Mom, I said, okay, God, you know, I don't know nothing about that. Yes, I've served in the military on two different occasions as an enlisted man and as an officer. Dr. Dunlap has never jumped out of an airplane. And so what I had to do was, and again, this is possessions, resources, and finances, right? So I had to reach out to a resource. And you know, y'all heard me say it plenty of times, that we are our greatest resource, people. So I said, okay, God, you drop something in my spirit, then you drop something on my mind that I don't have any knowledge about, and I surely don't have time to research this right now. And so I reached out to a good friend of mine, a very, very learned man of God. And I said, bruh, I need some help on this. Again, we still talking about release from financial bondage. See, some of y'all are waiting for the scripture like you do in church. Hold your mule. We'll get there. Hold your mule, because, see, there's something important that God is trying to release to you. He's trying to release something to you as he releases you from financial bondage. But if all you're looking for out of this series this month, if only thing you're trying to get to is to the promised land, you'll miss it every time. You'll miss it every time.
Yes.
So I hit up brother Cornelius Parks, and whenever he's ready, he can come into it. But I hit him up and I said, bro, you used to jump out of airplanes, helicopters, and as brother McWhite used to say, jumping, you know, out of airplanes in a Paraquay. I said, I don't know nothing about that. And I said, bruh, just help me get a little understanding. I said, because this is what God told me. And as he told me this, he brought up this thing about the release point. And I imagine in my mind, you know, there has to be some place when you're in that airplane that you got to get out to get to wherever you're supposed to be. And so I said, Brother Parks, help me out. And Brother Parks, welcome to the show once again. Brother Parks is no stranger to the PRF table.
Amen.
But Mama, he shared some stuff with me.
Yeah.
And when he shared these things with me, I said, bro, if you can just give me like 10, 15 minutes a night on the air, I promise you I won't keep you long. Be careful of a preacher to say I ain't going to keep you long. That means we got two more sermons.
Yeah, you just
mini sermon
keep you long.
But Brother Parks know how to drop the mic if he needs to drop the mic. But I really was really needing him to come on and just share something, because we really need to get the point about this release point. Because everything we deal with the scriptures, Brother Parks, is not going to really make sense to a lot of folk. And the reason I think it's not going to make sense to a lot of folk is because a lot of folk are still continuously walking around in financial bondage.
Mm.
So here's what I asked Brother Parks. I said, bro, you used to jump out of airplanes and tell me about the release point. And so, Brother Parks, the floor is yours, wherever you want to start. Because, see, we had a show earlier today. And Brother Dunlap don't know how the show going to go on right now. Give us some perspective, if you will, of what it means for those who don't have that military mindset, or folks like me that say, I like the ground too much, so I'm going to stay on here. Set us up, Brother Parks. Give us some of your experience, and let us just go from there, because, Lord, God got something for y'all tonight.
Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Well, good evening, everyone. God bless you. It is indeed an honor and a pleasure to be back at the table once again. It's been some time, but God is, I'm not going to say God is up to something or God is doing something, because the work is already finished. We just have to walk in the manifestation of what God has already done in the lives of his people. So we thank God for this platform, for the people that's truly that are listening tonight. I just thank God for all the listeners tonight, that whatever is being shared, it takes effect, it manifests in your life, and we just thank God for it. Thank you, sir. You and I have been friends for years. We talk sometimes. We don't talk for a while, but when we do talk, it gets lengthy, and it gets there's revelation in that. And I always want to say good evening to Mama. It's good to hear your voice again. You are a pillar. Yes, ma'am. You are a pillar at the table. You've been there at the beginning. So I thank God for your steadfastness in what God has called the table, called the ones that are dining at the table. The table is prepared for those that's ready to dine. So we thank God for that. We thank God for that. Yes, ma'am. So I've been thinking of, after we had our conversation today, I just kind of meditated a little while longer while I was at work. It's amazing that I can work and minister at the same time. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
I was just thinking about the times when I was a young soldier in the military. I really wasn't young when I did take the challenge of going through airborne school and jumping out of planes, and later on down the road, skydiving, take the challenge on that also at different levels and stuff. So it's amazing what happens when you're that high up in the air. But I think the point we're discussing is the release point. A lot of people really have not an understanding of what happens at the release point. there's a lot of things that happen prior to that. A lot of things, a lot of training, a lot of time spent conditioning the body, preparing the mind, your soul, your spirit for that particular task. And this, you know, it just brings, brought back a lot of memories when we was talking about it today. And I got a little excited because I felt the adrenaline rush. And the body just goes up. It tenses up. It rises up when you're talking about it. But when you actually do it, you're in a whole different mindset, a whole different frame of mind when that time comes. But the release point is a very crucial, crucial and critical point in a soldier that takes on that posture of going through airborne school. One of the things, like I said before, a lot happens. It's the preparation. A lot of things happen during preparation period. There's a period of tearing down and building back up. The body itself has to be conditioned, just like the mind. There's so many things going on simultaneously during that part of it that you have to. It's like you're learning so much stuff, but it has to be automatic prior to the point of the release point, prior to that. And then once we get to the release point, then everything that you've learned, everything that you've taken in, all the conditioning of the body, all the conditioning of the mind, all those things come into play and they act. You automatically move into those things automatically. But I think that one of the things we have to realize is that we can't overlook the training phase of it, the training that we receive from the individuals that are already prepared to teach. Just like PRF, we have individuals that are already prepared. They are a prepared people that are prepared to teach others what it is to be, to get to that release in your finances. So going back to the military, I spent 3 weeks, first 2 weeks, doing a lot of training on the ground. There's a lot of preparation on the ground. Prior to getting to the aircraft to be released, all the training that you receive on the ground is crucial for the training for the actual event that takes place in the air. Those things, it's just like taking a test. You go through the classes and you get all the information, you study, you prepare, and then test time comes. It's the same way. Same thing in airborne school. If we got soldiers, retired soldiers, or even active duty soldiers that's online tonight that have gone through this process, they know that this is very rigorous, and very strenuous things that you have to learn and do. But you have to retain all this good information, because it's going to be at that time of testing. That time of release, jumping from the plane, that's the release point that you're going to have the moment of really showing what you know, demonstrating what you have learned through those weeks of training. But I think today when we had our conversation, we were talking about the actual location of how everything is set up inside the plane, and we talked about so much going on. There's so many things going on inside the plane, and people are preparing themselves to go out the door, and they have to have their bodies in a certain position to exit the plane, which is the release point. And so we talked about a lot of things, but what I would say to you, Dr. Nathan, is that tonight, what is it actually that we're wanting to convey to your listeners tonight? Is it that you want to talk about the actual jumping out or getting out of being released from one thing to another? Or is it just that you want to continue to talk about everything that goes on prior to the release?
Oh.
Yeah.
And listen, I love
because this thing could be very lengthy. It could be very lengthy, and I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Okay, well, let's hit some high points because we got 5 weeks to deal with this, and the guys they go long to 5 weeks. I mean, one of the things that you said just now, I want to go to what you mentioned at the beginning. You talked about prior to the release, but let's start there. That's what I wrote down, taking my notes. Conditioning of the mind and conditioning of the body. So when I think about conditioning of the mind, then my mind automatically went to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2.
Okay.
See, there's so many people that are in financial bondage, but they haven't changed their mindset.
Oh, Lord.
See, a lot of times we can talk to folk. I deal with folk all the time through various situations of PRF.
Right.
And a lot of times people on the outside looking in, people who are judgmental against you and I or other folks will say, well, they're in that situation because of this. How you know? Did you ask them? Have you had a conversation with them? Or are you just going by something that was on Facebook? How are they going to be able to afford this, but they still in this situation? Mind your business, unless you're going to help them.
Wow.
So a lot of times people's mindsets, right? People's mindsets have to change of how we engage folks that are in financial bondage. And even when we are in a situation of financial bondage. See, some of us are not struggling right now. May not have struggled for a long period of time. So something has to come out of that. I'm getting ahead of myself, but Spirit, do what you got to do. Why in the world is God going to release you from financial bondage if you ain't going to give him the glory? So, Mama, I hope one of y'all taking some notes and posting some of these things on Facebook. If you ain't going to give God the glory for the release, why is my God going to release you? So maybe, just maybe, one of the initial things that some of y'all listening need to do is to get it in your mind, start conditioning your mind. Condition your mind that, Lord, if you release me from this bankruptcy, Lord, if you release me from this raggedy credit, Lord, if you release me from being able to not be able to pay my bills every month, Lord, if you release me, I'm making up my mind today that you're going to get all the glory. That puts you in position. God, it puts you in. Watch this. Not only does it put you in position, now you're accountable.
Exactly.
You mean I'm accountable to God because of what I said? Yeah. But see, you got to condition your mind to be able to say, yes, I can do this. Oh, my goodness. The second thing that you said was conditioning of the body. Okay, can we just talk about bondage for a minute in the natural sense? When the children of Israel was released from bondage, they did not give them a transpass, Mama, and tell them to go get on this number 6 bus. They didn't take them to the stop at the corner like folks take their children to the bus stop to get on the school bus in the morning. They said, Pharaoh said, y'all got to go. Y'all released. But if their bodies wasn't even conditioned, how the heck they going to go to the next place? So there's some physical stuff that folk have to do. This thing is not just about your mind, but this is some physical stuff that you got to do. And if somebody wants to be released from financial bondage, maybe the release is going to come by the practical thing that you put in place. But I gotta warn folks. Some of the practical may not be something that you can do that's going to be something overnight. See, you can request the copies of your credit report in 10 minutes, all three. Boom, boom, boom. Doesn't take that hard to do. But when you get that piece of paper, it may take a while for some things that don't look so pleasant to come off. It may take 7 years for it to come off. You may already be in the third year. You got four more years to go. So the preparation, bro, the preparation. And it's amazing that you said you talked about preparation because last month I focused on Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. More than one time, right, Mama? About the ant who was wise, who gathered in the summer so that he had in the winter. And remember, it said, don't be the lazy bones. Don't be unlike the ant. Be like the ant. Do the wise thing. So when you said to me, or said to us, the preparation on the ground, this is the groundwork right here. Let me tell you why this is the groundwork, Bro Parks. Because I can guarantee in 90% of the churches in my community, ain't none of them doing the groundwork right now on this.
Right.
But preaching, but so many are preaching, God's about to bless you. So many are preaching, God's about to open up the windows of blessing and just pour it out on you.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do on the ground is what's going to be your success in the air. That's how I took it. Your on-ground preparation is critical to your success in the air.
Exactly.
For a part, you said something. Mm-hmm. You said something about the person who's called the jump master. Can you just tell us what the jump master is up in that airplane? What is their responsibility?
He really has a wide range of duties and responsibilities, not only to as far as the training itself, but he oversees the safety of the people that are there to learn. He oversees, he gives them the information that is needed. He gives them the training that is needed for them to be successful as a young soldier that's coming into this arena of being a paratrooper or wanting to advance to be a jump master. But once he's in the plane, this is where he really puts what he knows to test, what he really knows about airborne operations and all of this. Once he gets in the plane, he actually is the one that's searching. He's actually the one that's already prepared to see, okay, there's the drop zone. That's the objective. That's where these people that are inside the plane need to be at on the ground. Once he spots that, he's already given the commands, which are taught on the ground. Once the soldiers respond to the commands that are taught on the ground, the jump master already knows exactly when to release them. He knows exactly how to deploy them for the purpose that they were called to do at that moment. That's his main purpose. But he also takes in consideration safety first.
Okay.
Safety first. Because anything could happen inside the aircraft that could cause and I'm not talking about the aircraft going down. I'm just saying while in the air, if he sees an unsafe act, he stops operation automatically. He ceases the operation automatically. Because, see, a lot of times people in their mind, you kind of lose your mind because this is something new. Here it is, you up here at 1,250 feet, 1,260 feet in the air, and all of a sudden you're jumping out a perfectly good plane, perfectly good airplane.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it. And you're wondering, what is going to happen to me when I go outside of this airplane? A lot of things can happen if you're not in the right position. If you have not positioned yourself, if you have not conditioned yourself on the ground to be in position, to exit the aircraft or be released from the aircraft, a number of things could happen. But the jumpmaster is also there to spot these things prior to you being released from the aircraft or prior to you exiting the aircraft. If he's doing his job, he sees it all and he knows how to respond to it when an emergency situation comes up. That's his purpose.
My God. Okay, so the jump master is the one who has the training. Yeah, because if you had the training, when you were up there with your jump master, then you would probably be called the jump master. Everybody can't be a jump master, right?
No. because see, the thing about it is, a jump master has not just been certified to be released from a plane or jump from a plane, but he also has been conditioned and trained and certified to know what to do, what not to do, and how to respond. He has he's been given additional training. He's been given additional certifications prior to becoming a jump master.
Okay, so he knows how to respond to unsafe acts. There's a lot of people that are walking around in our churches particularly that are in financial bondage. And so my question to all of my friends and my brothers and my sisters that are also in ministry is, who's your jump master for PRF? Because, see, just because you don't address it doesn't mean that people are still not living with it.
So exactly.
Somebody, and this is why we push so hard in this area, because somebody has to be identified as the jump master for possessions, resources, and finances. And one of the biggest mistakes that so many people make, let me calm down a little bit, so many people make the mistake of believing that your pastor is your jump master. No, sir. No, sir. I know too many of us. Not me, but so many of us, Brother Parks, need to be in the plane. Got no business standing at the door talking about I'm going to release you to go out in this particular area. And there's nothing wrong with that. The issue is, if the jump master, if the pastor or the religious leader believes that they're the jump master, but they ain't been trained, then the safety of the people as they get released from financial bondage is going to do nothing in the place of financial bondage. Let me give you an example. Our governmental system. The government has this thing called bankruptcy, right? A lot of y'all have heard about this. And bankruptcies, they're there to help the people, right? People are citizens of this country who are dealing with some financial challenges. We ain't got to go into why people are in the situation they're in. We know that that system is in place. So when people are in financial bondage, right, this is one way out for some people. Now, in order to go through the bankruptcy process, the people have to go through some other process before they can even go through the bankruptcy process. So what the government is saying in short is, we're not going to release you from these debts unless you do something to show us when we release you from these debts that your chances of being in this same situation again are lessened. So, for example, there's several different types of bankruptcies, right? But going into a bankruptcy, people go through credit counseling. Coming out of the bankruptcy, the government has it set up where people have to go through debt management, dealing with financial management providers. PRF is hoping to be one of those this year. All right, so now if the federal government has that in place for just citizens, why should we not have something similar within the body of Christ? Because, see, a lot of times people believe when God gives them a breakthrough that that's it. But you got to know that whenever God gives us a breakthrough, the enemy is sitting right there waiting to to put us back into the same doggone place that God has brought us from. The enemy ain't happy whenever God releases anybody from financial bondage, but only if they got the right mindset. See, if the right mindset is, it's about giving God the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if your mindset is, man, I just want to get released from this, like with the bankruptcy. You ain't got nothing to do with no spirituality with the bankruptcy court. I thank God that is there because it helps people.
Right.
But other than that, oh, no, man, I just want to get from up under this rock. I want to get from up under this Pharaoh's, the whips and the slave master's chains. I want to get from up under that so I can live comfortably in peace. The devil ain't going to worry about you because your mind already ain't right. Not if you know what God has actually done for you. So something else that you said, and listen, if you're listening, you just jumped into the conversation of what we're talking about. We're talking about release from financial bondage. This is part one, or the first episode of a 5-week series that we'll have for this month of March 2017. The telephone number is 347-215-7934. If you're listening, you want to jump into the conversation, just press 1. We would love to hear from you, hear your thoughts on what God has already said during this hour. All right, Brother Parks, you know, I said I ain't going to keep you long. Something you said earlier really tricked me out. You mentioned how the jump master. You talked about the jump master goes out the plane first. Mm. Lord have mercy.
Wow.
Real part.
Okay. We were talking about. How the whole operation takes place. And a lot of times, especially here at Fort Benning, a lot of the training that's being conducted dealing with airborne operations, the first thing that I noticed back in 92 when I first went to airborne school was when it was time for us to jump. Every time we went up, each day that we were preparing to go up, then we got into the airplane made a pass, a flyby, the first flyby over the drop zone. And it would be either the jump master, because there's several jump masters in the aircraft with you at the time anyway, because all of them are watching the students. But one of the jump masters or one of the parachute riggers or one of the airborne instructors will be one of the first ones to go out the plane to make sure that the release point that was given to the pilot, that he hits the release point for the first jumper. Once he goes out after that first pass, the plane circles back around again to make another pass. But what's going on with that first jumper on that first pass, they want to see exactly from the point that he was released from the plane till the time he hits the drop zone. From the point that he was released from the plane to the time he hits the drop zone, there's known as a drift or a drift. The actual person that jumped out of the plane actually drifts across the drop zone to a certain point. Each drop zone has already been calculated by the people that takes the area photography of the drop zones. And what is calculated is the distance and the timing of the jumper from the aircraft till the time the jumper hits the drop zone. So once that is accomplished, then the aircraft comes back around again. If he's been given the okay to drop the students, this is just in training now. This is training. This is not something that happens at Bragg, Fort Bragg, because at Fort Bragg, those soldiers have already been trained to jump from a plane, to be released from the plane. Over in Italy, in any other place that they do airborne operations. Here at Fort Bragg, for the training purposes, because we talked about this today, about the ideal conditions have to be met first. The ideal conditions have to be met first in order for the training of those that are in training, in this training phase, to actually accomplish the mission of being, of jumping out of an aircraft, being released from an aircraft and hitting the drop zone. We talked about the speed of the aircraft. We talked about the wind knots, the speed of the wind, and all of that is all factored in to the actual operation itself. And so, like I said before, the first pass by the jump master, whoever's designated to jump out of the plane first, is the one that they watch to see if the calculations are correct. Once that has been met and the calculations are correct, then the plane passes by again and it drops out 10 to 15 to 20, 25, 30 soldiers at a time. And that completes the airborne operations for the soldiers that's in the training phase or the student phase of training. But a lot of that is already done prior. A lot of the calculations and all of that is done prior to the actual jump of that day.
Okay, we have a caller. Listen, I want to say this one quick thing. We're going to bring a caller calling from the last four of 9254. Here's what I got out of this. Y'all can be quiet if y'all want to. The jump master is the first one to jump out the plane to test the calculations that somebody has already done to make sure that when everybody else comes out the plane, they get to the right spot. Man, if y'all was in church, y'all be shouting. I guess if y'all
Amen.
Got it.
I got
oh
it. I got it.
Oh, my goodness. I know some of y'all shouting back on. I know some of y'all shouting this. Listen. So that means
fun.
The leader... That means the leader says, I'm going to risk of myself to go out there first before the people who I have charge over to make sure that the place that I'm going to ask them to go out is safe. Okay? That's what I got out of it. And then the other thing I got out of it was you talked about the factoring of the calculations. Is, Brother Parks, is the calculations only done by the jump master?
No.
So it's other folks doing the jump master. So that means the leader, the jump master, has to trust other folks before they put their lives out in jeopardy. Oh, my goodness. Reminds me of that scripture about laying down your life for a friend. Because every time that jump master jumps out there, they're laying it down. Because if the calculations wasn't correct, then they're the ones to go. And then that means the people that's still in the plane, the ones who are trying to get to a place of financial bondage or release from financial bondage, then they know they need to sit tight. Because evidently we ain't heard from the jump master on the ground as we come around to do this second pass. So what I'm saying to folks is you need to get with the right jump master to position yourself to be released from financial bondage. And that's not a slight against any of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, nor of my fellow colleagues in the ministry. But the truth of the matter is, everybody's not a jump master. I'm going to our caller. We have a caller. Caller, you are on the air. Welcome to the PRF table.
Hello. Can everyone hear me?
We can hear you perfect. Good evening.
Good evening. I do want to... say something. Is it Brother
Parks.
One of the things that stood out to me was when you said jumping out of a plane, that's something new. So you automatically have to lose your mind, basically. And one of the things I got from that was when you're dealing with financial bondage, you have to lose your old mind. and gain a new mind.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may be used to spending money carelessly, and now
mm-hmm.
it's time for you to just forget about all of those things, because now you're walking in a new. Because many people that are in the body of Jesus Christ, they're used to living paycheck to paycheck or being in financial bondage, and they're used to the struggle. So I just wanted to say that really caught my attention.
Amen, amen. Listen, I'm gonna go to the first place where we probably need to go for everybody that's there. And my sister, you can mute your phone on your end and just come back into this conversation whenever you're ready. If you go to the first chapter of Exodus, we're not going to get any further than that, y'all. I'm just going to let you know. The first chapter of Exodus really sets up the stage for this whole release from bondage situation, right? We know that the Israelites was in captivity for over 400 years before they was released from Egypt, but from up under Pharaoh. But if you go to the first chapter talks about Joseph and all of his brothers, right, which represent the 12 tribes, right? All of those had died. That whole generation of people had died. But the descendants, right, the Israelites, they had all these children. They had all these grandchildren. And the word of God tells us in verse 7, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and filled the land. So think about this. We're talking about release from financial bondage. But the people who we know who were released from the bondage and out of slavery after 400-something years, the Bible says that they were extremely powerful and they filled the land. So if we're talking about the mind, take what our sister just said, you got to know how powerful you are in Christ. But can I throw this one out here? You notice that it said they. So I'm about to wreck somebody's theology. First of all, if you think that it's about you and you're being released from bondage, you'd have missed the whole story. Because it had nothing to do with one person being released from bondage. It had everything to do with the community being released from bondage. And we got a sister, Adia, one of the other hosts of the PRF table. She is on the line. I'm going to be quiet. I know she was sitting back for so long, and she wasn't going to be able to hold her mule. So, Adia, welcome to the PRF table. Take your rightful seat, and what do you have for us this evening?
So, I really love, well, hey, let me say hello to everyone. How you doing, Brother Park? So
Hi.
Glad to have you back at the table with us. Hi, Aunt Mary, Nate,
Hi,
and I really love the comment
good
that the caller gave, and good evening. I'm sorry, I'm so excited, so I'm kind of not even giving y'all time to respond back. Please forgive me. But I really like the comment that, you know, about just you got to get rid of the old, and the verses that have gone forth have just really been on point. Now, I was sitting up here chuckling when y'all was talking about Jumpmaster and airborne, because I served in the airborne unit for 3 years but never had to jump out of the plane because I was a NAP, non-airborne personnel. But I will tell you, the training that you have to have at airborne school is bar to none. And I say that because there is so much repetition. And this is getting ready to go to the point that I'm going to make. There is so much repetition. Now, even though I've never jumped out of a plane, I can tell you two things that you have to do. Keep your chin down and feet and knees together. Feet and knees together if you don't get anything else, you know, when it comes to jumping, because it's to protect you. And so because you do it so much in 21 days, 21 days tells us, you know, statistics and I guess, you know, scientific reports that they've done or studies said 21 days that begins the forming of a habit so that you can be able to do it without even thinking. Why? Because it's going to save your life. If you got to think about if your chute collapses and you begin to fall, you need to know what to do. And if you have to think about it, then the likelihood of you being able to save your own life is really going to be impactful and put you in a situation of life or death. And so there has to be a point in a believer's and even those non-believers' life who are believing for God to do a miracle in them, because let's just be honest, some people need a miracle when it comes to being set free from financial bondage, because and I don't even mean miracle in the sense, you know, where Jesus turned the water to wine. I don't mean a miracle like that, but I do mean a miracle in the sense of they need divine intervention. And so the point that I want to get to is that what we do has to become so redundant. It has to be so repetitive over and over and over again that it now becomes our second nature. And if when that does not happen, I think the likelihood of going back to the old is something that people that they will continue to battle and struggle with. And so the reason why I say that is because when you have been doing something for so long and now your habit has begun to change, you've been going to airborne school, you going to financial education for 21 days straight, and that's all you've been eating, sleeping, and drinking was how to be set free from financial bondage. What do you have to do? You have to replace it with, think about, I was listening to a man that was talking about, you know, once an addict, always an addict. I was like, I don't know if I believe that or not. And I'm not an addict. I was never addicted to drugs or alcohol or smoking or drinking or anything like that. So I don't know if that is necessarily true. But the God that I serve, you know, is a delivering God. And so what I begin to think about is when people give their life to the Lord and we want them to have true transformation, what are some of the things that we tell them? New members class, we're going to get you a new Bible. We begin to fill them with things that are different from what they were used to doing to help to bring forth change in behavior. And so as you go through the being set free from financial bondage, those things now have to be replaced with something else that was not used to being put there. And so if you are used to every time you get $5, you rush to the store. No. I have tools that are now in place that I need to be able to replace my old ways, my old behavior with, and so that when I want to go back to smoking the cigarette, because I got I'm hungry and I notice that I'm starting to gain weight. No. I put a plan together, and we talked about in January about having a support system. We talked about having an accountability partner. And what I, listening to everything that I've heard, is that you got the jump master. Well, the jump master is there to make sure that everybody is all right. He is, you know, we're doing PCIs and PMIs and all those preventive measures, right? But the jump master is the one that has the highest level of training. And so he's able to say, hey, no, you're going back to what you used to do. And so when we are going through the financial healing from the bondage, I think it's noteworthy for us. I think it's noteworthy for us to be able to say, you've gone through this class. Now here are some things that you have to put in place, some preventive measures, so that when you want to go back to the old because it's going to be uncomfortable, here's a Bible, like we would do to those that just gave their life to the Lord. Here's the new members, you know, the schedule. And we're going to call you and follow up with you. And I think sometimes, you know, we find people or find us going back to what is familiar because we have not yet gone through the entire process of when I've been set free from something, I need to have something to replace it with. So I used to smoke cigarettes. Now I'm eating. I got fresh fruit for the times that when I used to crave a cigarette, now I'm able to do this instead. You know, when I begin to, you know, for meth addicts, they begin to smell those, you know, certain smells can set them off. And so they have to do certain things to ensure that they don't go back to doing meth. And I think the same thing is also for those who are that have gone through and are recovering from financial bondage, we got to have something in place. And I say we collectively, you know, not we on this phone, but, you know, to understand the process of where before, during, and after, you know, what they mm-hmm. have, you know, before, during, and after they have gone through the bondage and now they're no longer living in that state so that they don't go back. Because if we don't believe that those familiar spirits will come back, hey, send them a check for $200. Call them and be like, hey, how's everything going? Girl, I got this check for $200. I'm about to go shopping. You know, you'll see it. And we have to know how to deal with people that are at that stage to where, you know, it's still new for them, but they still are going to need some support in place so that they don't go back to what's familiar. And that's just a piece that I wanted to add to it, because as I was listening, I'm telling you, that thing hit me like a ton of bricks, you know, that we got to replace the old habits with the new. But if we don't provide that to people, we will find them going back. Just like if, you know, you're not staying in touch with the new convert, before you know it, you know, they on fire for a month. You don't see them no more. And I think that's the reality, you know, of us just being real and honest, you know, because we're human and we do what's comfortable. We do what's familiar. And I'm really enjoying this show on tonight because I'm telling you, talk about being challenged. Definitely, you know, challenging me personally to be like, hey, this is what God is doing. Are you going to go back? Just being real, you know what I'm saying? Just being transparent. Are you going to go back? You saying you want God to do all of these things and he's opening doors, but are you going to go familiar? Or are you going to arm yourself with the tools that are needed so that you can stay free and stay delivered and continue to walk that thing up? Because to me, for Adia, that is the testimony. The testimony is that this is where I was and this is where I am. And though the temptation comes, I know that God is able, because I refuse to be nobody wants to be a slave again. I'm just saying, literally or figuratively. Nobody wants to be a slave. But we find ourselves going back to slavery, whether we want to or not, just because we don't have the tools needed. That's why, you know, in the literal sense, when we had those slaves, when they were set free, not all of them left the plantation because they weren't free in their minds. They were physically free, but not mentally. And I know that God wants us to be physically and mentally free so that we don't go back to those old ways that will keep us bound. He said, don't go back. Stand therefore in the liberty for wherewith Christ has made you free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't be entangled again. And so that's just my piece that I want to add. I'm going to keep on listening to the show because it has truly been a blessing, truly been a blessing. And wow. I thank you so much, Brother Parks, for just, you know, dropping that knowledge on us on tonight, and hope that everybody has really gotten something out of it that they can apply to their lives, because I know I certainly have. And that's it. I'm about to mute out. Boom. There it is. Mama, what you got for us?
Okay, I was on mute. Okay. Oh, you want to know what I have for you? Okay. I was just thinking about what you had just discussed about are you going back? And when you were talking about the familiar, which there are familiar spirits, and as Paul said, this is a daily walk. Each day brings new challenges. And but it's different situations, but it's still, the bottom line is, am I going to go back? For example, we could be, I can be dieting and doing really, really well. And then there's that, my favorite piece of cake, and I know I don't need the cake. And so that's a question that I can ask myself, well, are you going back? Are you going back, or are you going to continue to go forward? Because as I remember how Lot's wife looked back, and when she was told to go, don't look back, don't look back. But she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And, of course, you know, we won't turn into a pillar of salt, but we will go back into the familiar territory. And you know, once that happens, it takes a lot to come back, to want to come back, because now we've opened up that door, because the temptation is there, and we say, okay, I eat a little bit and I'll be fine. You know, or I can relate it to shopping. You know, I get a check that I'm not, oh, my gosh, I got $20 here, you know, paid too much in insurance. And all of the things that have been discussed about saving, it goes out the window. Because just that quickly, that familiar comes in. That familiar spirit will come in and say, oh, you know that watch you wanted? Yeah, but you're watching a long time. So we are constantly in a battle about doing the right thing for ourselves. And that is, in my case, to save money. And we have to really, really desire to do what is right for ourselves when we know what is right. Today, I was in a conversation, and it was about, was talking about, you know, eating, and that, you know, and the person that was talking to me, they were going into, it started off really nice about, you know, you have things in your kitchen and, you know, home remedies and things, and then it just easily turned into about serving the wrong, you know, you serving you know, you should be serving Mother Earth. It just was so smooth, and I was so glad that I knew who I was in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have to know who you are, because the way it was presented, I mean, it was a 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, it was just so beautifully presented. You know, you know, look how beautiful the sun is shining, which the sun was shining. And I was just saying there, you know, I was saying, thank you, Jesus, I know who I am. Because it sounds so, it sounds like, wow, that is so nice. I didn't know all that, you know, about the sun and the earth and some kind of scientific thing they were saying about the top of your skin. You know, it was just, I said, oh, God, thank you so much that I know who I am in Jesus Christ. So it's the same thing when it comes to who am I when it comes to wanting to be successful in my possessions, resources, and finances. Do I really want to be successful in this? And all that I have learned, as opposed to all I have learned about the Word of God, it has to be the same thing that when the enemy is speaking to our minds about things, no, I know who I am. No, I am going to continue to progress in my possessions and resources and finances because, you know, before I started the show, I didn't even have a PRF profile, but now I do. So we have to constantly keep on our mind where we're going, what we want to do, and what we're not going to do. And we have to know this is who I am now. Hallelujah. This is who I am now. I am not going all back. Right. Amen. I don't know how I got over there, but.
One of the things about it, too, is a lot of stuff that you said today, a lot of stuff that you were saying, Mama, some people are there. But, again, I take us back to Exodus 1, verse 7. It talked about they multiplied so greatly. It talked about how extremely powerful they are. And so what I want folks to make sure they're taking away from tonight's show is, to realize that if you are connected to the right people. If you are part of the body of Christ, we're powerful. So it shouldn't be a whole bunch of foolishness going on with so many of God's people in financial bondage. And if it is, and now, as Brother Park said, you talked about the platform. We have an opportunity to be a part of this community. This doesn't replace your church. It never will. Not designed for that. But I'm telling you, if you are connected with folk and all y'all sitting in bondage, it ain't none of y'all coming out. And I ain't talking about individually. I'm talking about as a community. Because, see, a lot of people come out of their individual places of financial bondage and never give God the glory. Never give God the glory. And what happens is the people of this world need to see the body of Christ being released. I'm going ahead of myself. But this thing is about the people in the body of Christ being released from financial bondage. Because watch this. If people see us as a collective body, your church, Brother Parks, my church, your church, Mama, your church, Adia, if people see that, then inside of the community or outside of the church community, then what people say is, hold on, they got something going on at Brother Dunlap Church. They got something going on because we're the same people that they're encountering at the barbershop, at the hairdresser, at Miss Ann's place where you get your nails done. All of these, we are encountering people in the world. So I think I posted something on Facebook last week that said, why would people outside the church who are broke want to become connected with people inside the church that are broke? So you know some folks outside the church are struggling financially, but they know you struggling financially. And you talking about, oh, come on to church. Pastor got a word for you. Okay. What word do we have that's going to help your situation so you can get out your situation? Because I don't want to be walking with you. These are real deal things that people have. I digress. I'm like a deer tonight. I digress. We got a caller that's calling from Alabama, I believe. Brother Mark, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
He has been waiting so patiently. Thank you, brother. This is Brother Mark Shelton. He is one of our facilitators of PRF, and we are so glad that he is with us tonight. Brother Mark, go ahead and share what you got, my brother.
Oh, like I said, it's been a great conversation. I don't have a lot to say, but one thing that kind of grabbed me was the young lady that came in and talked about the mindset. And this is what I tell people, even when I teach Bible study, when you become a believer, you should go crazy. And they look at me, and I tell them, I said, because the Word of God said, let this mind in you be in Christ Jesus, so that means you need to lose yours. So you need to lose your mindset. And gained another mindset, like she was saying. But I was sitting up here when I was listening to you guys, and I was looking at Luke 16 verses 10 and 11, and it says, "Who is faithful in what is least is faithful in also in much, and he who is unjust in least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" So God expects for us to be financially, to be financially responsible, and he trusts us to, and he wants us to be out of financial bondage. And the area that I'm from, it all goes back to what Brother Parks was talking about earlier. About the jump master, and then the person before the jump master. It all starts with leadership. At the end of the day, we are all one. But I feel like the problem is leadership. If we can get leadership, the men and women of God, pastors and all, to come together, because you may not have your church may not be equipped for every need, but there is somebody in the body that specializes in that area, and we need to, and we have to tap into these sources.
That's a good word. And you know,
hey, Brother Nate,
go ahead, bro.
Hey, I like what he just said about leadership. It starts with leadership. I remember back when back in the early 80s when I came into the military, and as I went from duty station to duty station, I had leaders. I had these old heads, old guys, old men and women that were leaders, and they really took the time to train, to see after your well-being, to make sure you were in the proper position, make sure you were dressed. They took the time to nurture you. They took the time to grow you. They took the time to let you know, hey, don't go that way. Go this way. Hey, check this out. I'm going to show you what you need to be successful. I remember there used to be a time when they used to have the old SQT manuals and the little, and everybody had the answers. Everybody had the answers, and you were making copies. You know, we'd have made copies of the answers so everybody could get those SQT books and pass those courses, you know, so they can, you know, have the points for promotion. You know what I'm saying? And I remember that I had leaders that had stacks of them. They took all these courses. They had stacks of them just sitting in boxes. I had one leader say, here, boy, here, go through all these courses so you can get your promotion points up. But what the main point that I'm making is that they took the time to nurture. They took the time to make sure that you were prepared for the next, whether it's promotion, the next school, the next event, the next training event, whatever the case was, they took the time. But it seems like today, and I'm not harping on the military of today versus the military of yesterday. But what I'm saying today is I see a lot of young folks that are making rank, but a lot of them are lacking the ability to nurture, the ability to train, the ability, because it's all about self now. I've got to get myself in position. I'm not worried about the man next to me or the soldier next to me, the male or the female. I'm not even worried about that. I'm worried about self now. And so now what I see now is, because I work with the military, I work at the hospital, and I work around basic trainees and stuff, and I see a lot of the soldiers. I got mine. You got to get yours now. I'm good. We don't stray away from the training, the nurturing, the growing, the preparing of the people, especially us as stewards, good stewards of what God has given us. You know what I'm saying? And wow, that's some of the things that are missing today along the way. And you got a lot of young leaders. There's nothing wrong with being promoted. But if they're gonna promote you young, at least have the knowledge and pass it on to the next man or the next woman, so they can be better prepared for the next promotion and the next position that they go to. That's all I have.
Well, listen, everybody, we thank y'all for being with us, Brother Parks. We definitely thank you for enlightening us in this area. You know, if you just sit down and you just read the Bible, if you just sat down and you read chapter 1 of Exodus, you would not have gotten all that you got today, probably, as you did on the PRF daily. So sometimes, a lot of times, we have to make sure that we are making the Word of God come alive in people's lives. And the way we make things come alive in people's lives is by sharing the experiences. We're not changing up the Word of God. But I believe everybody who's listened to the PRF table tonight has a good understanding that there's some things that you have to do prior to being released from bondage. There's some preparations that's necessary. There's somebody who is leading the way or should be leading the way to be able to help you in putting themselves, quote unquote, in harm's way instead of just sending you out there and putting you in harm's way. And so I want to bring on this sister who I had the pleasure of having a conversation with earlier. She has something that she's going to share with us as we close out tonight's show. And I just want to say my last piece before we go. And after she blesses us with something very special, we just pray that you will be able to come back with us next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to join back into the conversation, because God is really trying to get through to his people right now. And he's only going to get through to those who are willing to have ears to listen and to be able to hear what God is saying in this particular season. And so with that, without further ado, let me just go ahead and just throw something at you to put on your mind as Sister Washington comes. Do you remember the old Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston from 1956? Or the movie Exodus with Christian Bale from 2014, where Moses goes before Ramses several times and he says to him, "Let my people go, let my people go, let my people go." Well, these were movies. They were entertaining. They brought life from the Bible onto the movie screen. And I want to suggest that going to the Word of God, because there's some key principles that God has revealed, will be able to help us in all of our various places of bondage, all of our various places of captivity, not just individually, but most of all collectively. That's the key. So I want us to be very cautious. Cautious to realize that if you think that your life is going to flow just like a story in the Bible that's already been written, you may not ever be free. We are not living in a place of Exodus right now physically. So you're not going to be able to read the book of Exodus and see the story of the Israelites and be able to say, this is exactly what I'm going through, because we don't live in that place right now in our society. But here's what I want you to remember. And I want you to try your very best as we continue to deal with releasing from financial bondage. If you are willing to acknowledge that freedom has conditions and you're willing to walk through those conditions, then I am promising you this. God will bring forth the promise of freedom in the people, in the church, and in the community. And so with that, God bless you. We love y'all. Sister Washington, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Sister Washington, just tell the listeners who you are. Tell us what you're doing. And the mic is yours. The floor is yours to come in your own way. I don't want to mess up an introduction, so I think you're the best person to introduce yourself at the PRF table.
All right. Thank you so much, by the way, for the opportunity. My name is Tamara Washington. I'm a motivational speaker as well as an entrepreneur, and I'm the pastor of the ART Global Experience, which is an empowerment center in the Fort Valley, Georgia area. The piece that I'm going to be reciting to you all tonight, it's called "It's Time for Another Change." It's from my book, Tamara Washington Behind Closed Doors, which I wrote while I was an undergrad at Fort Valley State University working on my bachelor's degree. So I pray that it be a blessing to you and that it inspires you in some form or fashion. Black people, African Americans, blacks, what are we doing? I'm not talking about everyone, but as a whole, I am talking about the people of color. Harriet Tubman put her life on the line after going to a place that set her free, but came back to bring back other blacks. Rosa Parks went from the back of the bus to the front just to be kicked off the bus so that blacks could sit anywhere on the bus. Madam C.J. Walker made it possible that a person of color can become a millionaire, even if black was their color. Martin Luther King Jr. marched these cities, led the marches, and fought for freedom just so that we could see freedom. These blacks and many more sacrificed their life, time in jail, so that we won't fail. They showed us unity, family, and true integrity. They showed us love, sacrifice, and loyalty. They had faith, they fought, and they died for our freedom and our liberty. Now switch with these great, we have no unity. We have chosen to destroy our family. We have decided to get rid of our integrity and take advantage of our free ability. We don't fight to become great. Instead, we fight so we won't be great. We don't strive to make a difference. We sit and wait for one or two to make the difference. We don't strive to make this world a better place. Instead, it seems we're striving to be hated in this place. We don't go to jail for doing right or making this world a better place. Instead, we go to jail for killing brothers that are both black and white and special to somebody in this place. You would think now that we are free, we will be out of poverty. You would think after all they did for us to make us free because they didn't want us to experience what they went through with slavery, we would stop being selfish and appreciate the fact that because of them, we didn't go through slavery. They thought about us. They didn't think about themselves because they knew if they fought for freedom, they would not see the day it prevailed. But we don't think about them. We think about ourselves. And that's why we can take advantage of this freedom that was fought for by others that were not able to see it for themselves. Because if we thought about our fighters that fought a great battle, sagging of pants would not be an issue no matter. Blacks fighting and killing each other would not even be in existence. Blacks dropping out of school would not be a part of statistics. The percentage of blacks in jail wouldn't make sense because most of them, if not all of them, would be proven innocent. Blacks selling for less and becoming a slave to the government would not even be a factor because the majority would be successful and help the rest and lead and guide them to success. If we thought about them the way they thought about us, no one in this world could. If together we would stand and we would know that divided we fall. So we would know together we could take freedom to an entire another level. And that would make us live for the people that fought for our freedom but did not have a chance to see our freedom. So the least we could do is stop taking it for granted and appreciate our freedom. So let's make a change in our freedom. Let's walk with our head held high. Let's pull up our pants and walk like the greatness of men. Women, let's stop showing all of our skin and respect the beauty of the skin that we live within. Let's get our high school diplomas and college degrees so that we can fulfill our needs. Let's stop disrespecting our females and treat them like beautiful and respectable queens. Let's stop downing our males and treat them like handsome and honorable kings. Let's stop calling each other out of our names and come to the realization that we are all the same. Let's stop using the N-word and start using respectable and encouraging words. Let's stop using the word can't. Let's stand by one another and tell each other we can. Let's stop giving one another drugs and liquor and give each other a helping hand. Let's start respecting everyone and showing others we have integrity. Let's start striving to make our dreams a reality because now we actually have the freedom and the ability. Let's start uplifting, motivating, encouraging, loving, respecting, and helping our people of color and everybody else that's not of the same color. Let's make our ancestors proud and treat our freedom like royalty. And that's it's time for another change. Thank you.
Boy, that's incredible. Sister Washington, we are so thankful. Brothers and sisters, listen, when I heard that earlier today, I said, if she had the time, we would love to have that on the PRF table. So, Sister Washington, all blessings to you. We look forward to you being able to come back to the PRF table. And again, so all of our guests, in behalf of all of us here at the PRF table, myself, Dr. Nate Dunlap, Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama, Sister Shatara Sherwood, and Reverend Warren Feaster in their absence, and also Adia Sanders, known as the firecracker of the crew. We will see you back here on the PRF table, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio. God bless you. We love you. Be free until next week.